When I was in college, the Christian Fellowship had arranged a guest speaker. She was a Buddhist student who was dating one of the kind of fringe members of the group, and she began to explain her beliefs and her understanding about how she practiced her faith. Now, while I know that she was kind of dumbing it all down for us Christians, some of her words struck home to me and clearly have stuck with me for a little while. She explained that she believed that there was this pantheon of gods and that they were consumed doing things that the divine did. And thus, why would they spend their time or an interest in kind of poking their noses into human affairs? And therefore, they weren't concerned with what we were doing, so it was up to us to kind of find our own way out of that cycle of pain and suffering into nirvana or enlightenment. It thus led to the Buddha kind of developing this eightfold path to enlightenment. Now, after she finished her talk, she and her boyfriend went out to get some dinner, and I tagged along too. Kind of looking back at this story and revisiting this week, I actually think that I invited myself to crash their dinner date because I'm not great at reading social cues, but I was also interested and wanted to have more conversation. So whatever, right? but her words of personal accountability and empowerment stuck with me for a couple of reasons. Like, it's up to us. First, you know, I was the college kid who wanted to kind of be in control of his own destiny. I don't want anybody else or even God to be the one that chooses my whole path for me. I wanted to know that I got to own some of it. And secondly, this was a time when the recent 9/11 attacks had kind of tempers and defenses on high alert. Pastors and even some of my friends made some terribly Islamophobic comments like, you know, bomb them all and let God sort it out. Like, what? To me, that sounded kind of like spiritually quitting on our faith. Like, oh, whatever, they'll work it out. But whatever the cause, this was the point at which some holy envy began to take root in me, and I began to explore the importance of being accountable for trying to make Earth look a little bit more like the kingdom of God, that place that Jesus talks so much about. Now, last week we began our 3-week series entitled Holy Envy, where we're working to find a deeper Christian faith through the interaction and conversations with other religions. Now, this series comes from one of the 3 rules that Swedish bishop and professor Christer Sindal developed with concern to engaging other ideologies. And so he started off by saying, first, we have to try to understand a religion based on its adherents rather than its enemies. Secondly, don't compare your best to their worst. And then finally, the 3rd rule when looking at comparative religions is leave room for holy envy. Now, my hope is that we might make some space in our hearts and our minds for God to work in a way that can cause holy envy to spark curiosity within us so that we might explore ways in which we can become more deeply committed disciples of Jesus while fostering a rich faith. We don't have to give up anything in our identity to just talk and explore. And so today, I hope to explore a little bit about this kind of Christian tendency to keep responsibility and accountability at arm's length. And then how we might learn from our Buddhist brothers and sisters the richness that is possible when we take on the burden of responsibility in a way that can transform the world. Now, while I don't often hear statements like, you know, blank them all and let God sort them out too often anymore, I do hear things like, you know, whatever happens, happens. I trust God. Or things like, well, I know my future's secure in heaven, so whatever else is just the details. Now, I do fully believe that God or Jesus reconciles us to God and brings us back into right relationship with the Creator, full stop. There's nothing that we can do or earn our adoption into the family of God. However, like a family, I also believe that there are rights and responsibilities that go along with being part of the family. And the more than just kind of where you'll end up when you die, there's more to it than that. I believe that there are times when we as Christians hear that reconciliation is not up to us but God, and we give away all of our agency. This might be in large part due to our short-sighted understanding of what it is to be called to be Christian. You see, the call to be a Christian, as author and Bishop N.T. Wright reminds us, is not simply a matter of life after death. But rather, salvation and discipleships are matters of life after death. And N.T. Wright is a wonderfully smart man, and it took me a little while to kind of wrap my head around this, but you see that there is this promise of God restoring creation. And heaven is just the place where God is holding Earth's future. And so when we think about faith as, you know, as a means to like where our lives go when it ends, is only seeing part of the story, and it misses out on what I feel is the absolute best part of the story. What we learn from our Buddhist brothers and sisters is that there is this pathway to enlightenment, this eightfold path that encourages practitioners to have right understanding, right, you know, intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And it's through this path that there's a lot more accountability and ownership over your own personal journey. That if the divine isn't going to help me, then I got to do it myself. Well, as followers of Jesus, we see his example of bringing heaven and earth a little bit closer. Through the way that he lived his life, throughout his ministry, he didn't just announce that the kingdom of God was coming, but rather through word and deed, he makes the earth reflect the kingdom ethic here and now. And so our holy envy leads us to this question this week. How is my walk with Jesus empowering me to bring the kingdom of God closer today? Now, I have a couple of suggestions about how we might bring the kingdom of God a little bit closer right now. And you can come up with your own, but I would encourage you to try one of these too. First is to read through the Sermon on the Mount. This is the most famous and longest of Jesus' sermons, and it paints a great picture of the values and the ethic of the kingdom of God. This is found in Matthew 5 through 7, and read it over a couple of times this week so it gives you a great starting point for what we're looking and working toward, because it's really hard to work towards a kingdom that we don't know. And so this gives us a great starting point for what we're working towards. Secondly, take real steps to reconcile where you've kind of shirked responsibility because God or someone else will work it out, right? That kind of mob mentality of, oh, it's somebody else's problem. There's been study after study in psychological and sociological journals about this mob mentality, that personal responsibility is lost and accountability is lost when we think that it's someone else's problem. Identifying when we have made this kind of the default for our lives, and, you know, making things right is somebody else's problem, allows the kingdom to break through when we take ownership over that rather than just saying, "Meh, not my fault," right? And finally, third, you know, show up and do the work of bringing the kingdom closer. Don't just think about the change that you want to see, but become part of making that kingdom vision part of our present reality. Here's where our Matthew 25 scripture comes in. Let's feed and grant safety to the least, the lost, and the lonely. Let's bring hope and connection to every single person we meet as if they were Jesus himself that we were serving. And while these are just a couple of examples, let's begin to take the power that Jesus has given us to be agents of transformation. Let us be quick to say, "I'm sorry," bold in our generosity, and joyful when we see the kingdom of God breaking through in our world here and now. Because in doing that, we are able not only to praise God for life after death, but we get to be active participants in that life after death, bring the kingdom of God here and now. Let's pray. Wonderworking God, we give you thanks for the ways in which you call us to something better, a faith that goes deeper, and that it gives us the power to be agents of your transformation, to make this place look like the kingdom that you envision, that Jesus announces, and that he even allows to break through in those thin places. God of grace and God of peace, allow us to be bold and generous and courageous, agents of your peace, grace, and love. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.